Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com,
this is Blogulator Radio, skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. I'm Jerksica.
And I'm Chris.
And our opinions
are valid.
How's it going, Chris?
Oh, you know, it's all right. It's fine.
It's moving along.
You know, day goes by and you go to sleep and you wake up.
Days go by.
It's the thing of love of the family. Bump, bump. We would like to do something gimmicky.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have anything in particular that's pressing. It's mid-season.
Yeah, mid-season's the worst. I was just opining about how, when do the mid-season show start?
The networks are, you know, doing their last episodes. They got done with their Thanksgiving episodes. They're getting ready to do their Christmas episodes.
It's and then dark weeks.
They'll be done for a while until the new year.
Yeah.
But with the new year comes things to look forward to, so we got stuff to talk about there. And with mid-season comes, you know, us kind of finally figuring out which shows are kind of in the throes of a really strong season.
Throes?
Yes.
Oh.
Many throes. Actually, there's probably only a handful of them. But
we're all in the throes of something.
And there's also shows that have been canned. In the garbage.
R.I.P. Animal
Dead.
Practice. R.I.P.
So we'll give us kind of like a little cornucopia episode. But we're going to do it...
Oh... Like what? The harvest season.
Exactly. I totally meant to do that.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to give you the ABCs of Fall TV 2012, our second edition. Feel free to go back and listen to 2011's, if you're nostalgic, or that bored that you would go to a minor television podcast.
Or you're like me and don't remember doing the podcast.
So, this is a dramatization of what happened when I told Jerkska we should do this again. Doodaloo, doodaloo, doodaloo. Hey, Jerkska, you know what we should do again, since we don't really know what to netcast about? Let's do the ABC thing again.
Confused look.
You know, when we went through letter by letter and talked about a different show or character that we were watching?
I don't know what you're talking about.
We did this last year. You and me.
Are you sure it was me?
Yeah, who else would I podcast in the basement with?
I have no memory of this.
Diddle, diddle, diddle. It was ridiculous. But I trust me, Jerkska, there's evidence on the interwebs, and we're doing it again.
Well, and this year is just going to be that much more memorable.
Exactly. So next year, you can forget it all over again, and we can play this little game of ours. So start right at the top. The alphabet begins with...
A.
Good job.
Thanks.
A is for Ann Perkins on Parks and Recreation, a character that I did not think that I would grow to love, but I undoubtedly have.
But I think one of the reasons she was a difficult character to love is because it seemed like the series wasn't really sure what her role was.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first, like early on in the season, she was like the straight woman, right, to everybody's like zaniness.
Right, she was like the Michael Bluth.
Right, and then they started making her kind of crazy, and that didn't really fit. And then I think this season they're doing a really good job of kind of being self-referential about it.
Yes.
By having Anne go through this sort of identity crisis where she's realizing that she's just changed her personality to like match that of whoever she's dating at the time.
Which I think is not only more entertaining, but is more indicative and kind of more relatable for the straight guy character in real life. You know, where it's like you're the neutral person, but in actuality, nobody's actually neutral. If you are that devoid of wackiness, it's probably because you're attaching or trying to become too much like those that are around you. And so they play off, you know, Ann Perkins' dating habits with various guys, including Chris Traeger, which is always fun to see. They are being kind of self-referential about the horribleness that was the Tom and Ann storyline from last season.
Yes.
And even just her being Leslie's best friend is kind of an entertaining role because, yes, she kind of plays the straight guy, kind of like the Jim Halpert looking at the character squinted kind of thing, but it's always in a way that makes you like her more. Whereas I feel like with Jim Halpert, especially as The Office progressed, he became very boring. He became too much of the generic straight guy, but Ann Perkins always does it with a wink and a nod. And I don't know, I feel like I identify more with Ann Perkins than I have any most other straight guy characters in sitcoms. And I think part that's large part to like what you mentioned, but I also think part of it is just Rashida Jones is funny.
Yes.
And people, I don't think, even though she's been in sitcoms now for almost a decade, I think the people on Parks and Recreation are just realizing for some reason that she actually can be funny.
She's funny.
Yeah, it's like she can deliver jokes very well.
Yeah. So that's A, Ian Perkins. Check it out.
You can do B, Jerkska.
B is for Busy Phillips on one of my favorite shows, Cougar Town.
Yay, which comes back in January.
Yes, I'm very, very excited for the show coming back, and Busy Phillips is by far my favorite character. Well, my favorite actor. She plays my favorite character on the show.
There you go. There you go.
I get it.
You,
right.
You like her better than Ellie, better than
I do,
Kristen
but
Miller.
I think that's just because the character of Ellie hits a little too close to home sometimes.
A little too close. You kind of
sometimes
wish
I'll be watching that show and you'll just be like staring at me open mouthed, right. And I'll be like, "What? What? I don't. That's not. I don't do that."
You kind of wish you were more of a Lori, but you're actually an Ellie.
Yeah. 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 No, I like. I don't know. Busy Phillips.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
And also, you might have brought her up because you recently saw her on another show.
Yeah, so Busy Phillips, of course, also from Dawson's Creek, and
Freaks and Geeks, which we also rewatched recently.
Yes, and Freaks and Geeks, but she had a little cameo on Don't Trust the Bee, in Apartment 23.
As herself.
As herself, meeting covertly with Dawson to talk about a...
A.K.A. James Vanderbeek.
Dawson. To talk about a possible Dawson's Creek reunion. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that show... I haven't seen any of the new season of that show, but I think that show always excels when it focuses on James Vanderbeek's inflated ego as the former Dawson.
I used to confuse Busy Phillips with Allie Larder, like, a lot.
Interesting. I can see that.
Now I don't, because we watch Cougar Town so often.
Right.
But, throughout Heroes, it was very confusing to me.
Especially because she wasn't trying to be funny.
Right, yeah. So, yeah. And, Allie Larder's also in Final Destination.
Right. Is Busy Phillips in one of those?
No.
Oh.
But I think of those as a really hilarious franchise. I don't think it's meant to
be. Oh, right. So,
so
you
I
think...
expect that it's be Busy Phillips that's in...
because right. she... Yeah, right. I get it. I get it. Totally get it. C is for Chris on 30 Rock. Not me. The one on 30 Rock, spelled C-R-I-S-S, like Chris Angel.
Yeah.
Played by James Marsden, one of my Uber man crushes.
Yeah, you do. You do have a thing for him.
I don't know why. There's really no reason. I think it dates back to, as you talked about, you know, late 90s horror franchises. He began his career with Disturbing Behavior.
Oh, see, I was going to say I thought it was because of his, like, overly sincere...
Oh, that's definitely a big
smile.
Part of it.
Smile.
Yeah. He's got a great smile.
But his character on 30 Rock was introduced last season.
Mm-hmm, at the end, yeah.
And I did not... I think I thought it was going to be like most of Liz's boyfriends.
Right.
Which she's had great... Her boyfriends have been played by a lot of great
Dennis.
Actors doing cameos. Well, Dennis was the long term,
yeah.
but she had Matt Damon
right
as the
Carol.
Pilot as the pilot Carol. She had John Hamm,
yeah,
as I forget his name, the guy with hooks,
right, the who turns out to be her cousin, I think, right?
No, really?
Yeah. And then he comes back and he has hooks for hands.
That's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so James Marsden won in a series of great boyfriends for Liz Lemon, but he stuck around for a couple seasons. He's going to help see the series out,
yeah.
I think.
Well, we didn't watch the most recent episode, but did you hear what happens?
No.
Then I shouldn't give it away.
Do they break up?
No.
Hmm. Did she get pregnant?
That I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But it makes...
Should I just keep guessing plot
No,
points?
No. You can, I mean, you'll probably figure it out. And it's pretty obvious, but it seems like they're ending the show with Liz Lemon, happily committed relationship.
Yeah, and he's a good partner for her, I think,
yeah,
his character.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I still like that they clearly test their relationship, and they've clearly almost broken up several times.
In an IKEA.
Yeah.
The scene
one of the best episodes.
Many of our almost breakups.
Right. So good on 30 Rock for not only using a good actor and finding a guy for Liz Lemon, but it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like, oh, finally Liz Lemon met somebody. It's like, it's right. More organic than that.
Right.
Go ahead.
Ugh. D is for Declan on Revenge.
So not all these are people we necessarily enjoy.
We enjoy disliking.
Oh, there's a double D. Disliking Declan. Double what?
It's a different double D.
Double Never D. Mind. There's another kind of double D besides disliking Declan.
Yeah, batteries. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Double D batteries.
They're huge. They got the things.
She's got them things.
A preview of our next letter, actually. Declan is the worst, and also therefore sometimes the best character to watch on television, because not only is he just like written very poorly and performed very poorly, but I'm also constantly half thinking I'm watching Gossip Girl, because he's played by the little brother, Serena's little brother on Gossip Girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive.
I don't think that's true.
You don't think it's the same kid?
No, I think that's a different actor.
I'm Googling it as we speak.
Okay. I think it's a different actor. But in any case, he's just flipping terrible, and I think he missed...
One of the third search results comes up is Revenge Declan Gay.
Yeah. But I feel like his character was written like a character on the OC, and they just missed it.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, totally. It's totally like an OC... Like, not necessarily homage, but just, like, right. And not fitting in this kind
like
of show.
Like, Revenge is all around about one-dimensional characters, right? Uh-huh. Like, nobody's well-developed, but he's just, like, a caricature of... And he's just so infuriating. Everything he does is infuriating.
Connor Paolo. Eric Vanderwoodson.
Huh.
I know, right?
He was blonde in that, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. Dyed blonde, yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting. Great. Shut up, Kat.
Well, Spike also does not like Declan.
No, Declan's horrible.
So let's move on to E.
E is for Alicia Cuthbert on Happy Endings. Not only is she very attractive, she's hilarious. And I think become my favorite on the show.
She got really funny.
Yeah, like, it's first progressed.
The
first
season, because the series started with her...
On like, a bad step.
Her bad relationship, foot. Like, imploding, right? Mm-hmm. She leaves... What's his nuts at the altar?
Dave. What's his nuts?
But she's progressively become more and more hilarious, and she is the best at. Well, I guess I don't know. I think she ties with Max on the show for best physical comedy.
Yes. Well, here's what I think happened. This is season 3 of the show. Season 1, definitely Max was the standout, and. Adam Pally kind of stole the show because he's very big and he's very physical in his comedy. And then season 2, I feel like I leaned more towards Damon Wayans Jr. as I got over the fact that he looks exactly like his dad.
See, for me, it was Damon Wayans Jr. in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second season was...
Penny?
No.
Eliza Coop?
Jane,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
But now, third season for me, it's Alicia Cuthbert.
All right.
Even though I mean, they all have their moments. I think they've very much gelled as a really kind of tight-knit unit of ensemble cast. But it's fun that it's easy to play favorites in that show depending on the episode. And no matter what, they're hilarious.
Yeah, I like with their character, too. They play up kind of her, like... I don't want to say, like, airheadedness.
I know, because it's
because they don't make fun of... It's not like they're not mean-spirited in the way that they...
I know. The show is so weird because the characters... I mean, similar to, like, the classics, like Seinfeld, the characters make fun of each other relentlessly, and yet it never feels mean-spirited.
No, never.
Even when they, like, just straight up, like, ignore their feelings, like, ignore their best friend's feelings or, like... backstab their friends, like it always feels like sweet natured, like they really are a true group of friends.
Yeah, I like it.
Specifically, I picked Alicia Cuthbert, I gotta say, because of the Thanksgiving episode. Two reasons: one, the open-eyed napping, and also the what she thought was an anti-carpal tunnel chair, which was actually a sex chair,
sex swing.
She's hilarious. Turns out that the girl on 24 that hunted cougars just turned out to be a sitcom star in the making. Next.
F is for Fred Armisen 1/4? I don't know what the 1/4.
Nope. Meaning that the new season of Portlandia begins on January 4th.
Oh.
F is 1/4 of Fred Armisen? No, I'll tell you.
You guys play a lot of characters on the show.
Exactly.
So I thought maybe that was just 1/4 of.
You really thought that's, well, that's where I was going with
it. I had no idea. I don't know why you have fractions on our list.
Portlandia's third season premieres at the beginning of 2013, and I guess not only excited for it, but I'm hopeful that they'll continue to push the boundaries. I feel like season two was still as funny, but I didn't feel like they didn't really do anything new.
Yeah, Portlandia is one of those shows where like I will watch it, mm-hmm. but I'm never like excited to watch Portlandia. Like I enjoy it,
yeah.
but I feel like it hasn't quite hit its stride. Like I feel like there's a lot of potential that they
right. Except like I feel like every two or three episodes there's like sketch that's like really really funny.
Right.
And so like when you happen to stumble across that sketch, it's like, oh, I'm really glad I watched this.
Right.
And you laugh your head off. But you're right. I mean, it needs to do something new, I think. And I think there's kind of a double-edged sword or double possibility is either because Fred Armisen's become so sidelined and marginalized on SNL because no longer does he have the Obama job, that means maybe he'll give more creative energy into Portlandia.
Is he sticking around SNL?
As far as, I mean, he's still on it. It's just that he's,
well, right,
he's in,
I mean,
very
like
few sketches.
He hasn't announced, like, this is his last season.
No, he hasn't. That's a good okay. point. Or on the other hand, maybe he's just fizzled out creatively in general, and maybe, who knows, Portlandia will keep plateauing. I don't know. I actually think, even though I think this season's success depends on him, I think that Carrie Brownstein is always a surprise of how funny she is, especially because comedy isn't her first profession.
Right, yeah.
Okay, next. G is for Glenn on The Walking Dead. We haven't talked about The Walking Dead at all on this netcast since last season.
You could have Dignan yeah. podcast with you about
it. Because he watches it with me.
Our 7-month-old loves Walking Dead.
I know. Child services, please don't pick me up. I had the first pang of anxiety because this is the first time he's getting old enough now that he can react to sounds from the TV. Like, not only does he happen to look at the TV when there's sounds, but it seems like a
he's
zombie
reacting.
Growling actually causes him to look over. And so now I'm getting a little anxious. Maybe he's taking in some images that he shouldn't. And so maybe it's good that
no more Walking Dead.
So maybe it's good that the mid-season break is happening right now. But I picked Glenn in particular because not only is he kind of a fan favorite character, he's the weakling nerd that turns into the kind of hero of the group. But I just think that he's an example of how they take a very archetypal character and make it work and develop it in a way that's satisfying, because otherwise...
Can't be that satisfying. His name is Glenn.
That's true. It is a pretty bad name. But otherwise, character development has been a constant struggle for this show and will continue to be with the craziness that they've gone into with this mid-season break, combining two sets of characters, including one set of characters that has very troublesome inconsistencies and what they think is playing with our emotions and playing with our sympathies, but is actually just them not knowing what to do, so they're throwing curveballs and twists instead.
And they probably sent all their best writers to the killing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we should have put that on there because that got uncancelled. Did you hear this? Oh, God.
I knew it was coming back, but I didn't know it had gotten canceled in the first place, so I didn't have the glorious
okay.
high.
Okay. I thought I told you. A couple months ago, it got canceled. And then the news this week is that AMC uncanceled it because they were worried about it going to another network.
That's a whole other podcast. I don't even
know. I know, right? Anyways, Walking Dead, I hope when you come back from the break, you take your own advice and structure more characters like you did with Glenn. I'll just do the next one too because it's also my deal. You can go to sleep if you want, Jerksco. H is for Hank Dalworth on Terriers. You saw a couple minutes of this when we watched it on Netflix.
I don't really know what Terriers is. I keep thinking it's the show with what's his name? The comedian. He's British.
The British comedian.
Mm-hmm.
That one guy that happens to be British and a comedian.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais?
No. He's a transvestite.
Eddie Izzard.
Yes.
The Riches?
The Riches. I confused that with The Riches.
Why do you... Okay. Anyways. Terriers is a really great show. Turns out that everybody was right. Everybody on the internet turned out to be correct. That
What is Terriers? It's not about dogs.
No. It's about two unlicensed private detectives.
Oh, yeah.
FX show that only lasted one season, became a cult hit, and quickly vanished. Co-created by Sean Ryan and Ted Griffin.
Oh, that's what you watched when you were nursing your turkey hangover on Thanksgiving.
Yes, exactly. That's why you caught a few minutes of it. But Hank Dalworth is the protagonist, played by Donna Logue, and it's just amazing to see this guy that had a rough start in his career, and obviously continues since the show got canned, but he had a couple hit indie movies, including one that I really like called The Tao of Steve. Check that on Netflix, too. And then some Fox sitcoms. I think he was on two different ones. I don't remember what they were called or anything, and I'm too lazy to Google it, but he's absolutely spellbinding as the main guy on Terriers. He's funny, he's sympathetic, and very complex without seemingly like it's forced. And it's got film noir aspects, it's got screwball comedy aspects, and it's just a really excellently balanced show. And obviously, since it's a private detective show, it gets to play with the classic FX format, which was popularized by Justified, where it's kind of half serialized, half episodic, and it works very well. And I hope that John Landgraf and the rest of the guys at FX continue to champion shows like that, even though they can fizzle out like Terriers did. But who knows, maybe we'll get a movie someday, like the internet keeps liking to say about shows that were canceled too quickly. You can do the next one, Jerkska.
Okay. I is for Armando Iannucci's Veep.
We kind of stretched a little bit to figure out some of these letters. Whoops! Iannucci created Veep based somewhat on his original BBC show, The Thick of It, delving into the, speaking of screwball comedy of politics, and second season starts soon.
I'm really excited. I think I really enjoyed that show when we watched the first season. But now that it's had time to kind of sink in a little bit in my brain sack, I think that Veep is my favorite show of last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like overall or just comedies? Or?
I think overall.
Really?
Consistently enjoyable.
Interesting. A lot of people loved the show at the beginning, but then felt like it kind of felt stayed by the end of it. Like it was just doing the same thing every episode.
Yeah, but I don't know. I agree with it, but I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It don't fix what ain't broke, right?
Yeah, I like it. I like all the mumbling on it.
Yes. That is a show where I feel like the replay value is underrated.
Plus Anna Chomsky?
Yes.
What?
I know, right? And she's, once again, another actor that you never would have thought would be hilarious, and she is.
She is, yeah.
Kevin Dunn is being added to the cast as the president. We didn't meet the president at all in season one, and they're finally going to reveal it.
Oh, I might not like that. Two. I kind of like that they never...
I did too.
Like, I like that they just always, like, talked about...
Because it kind of made
the president
you...
call? Like,
right.
Yeah.
It made you feel marginalized along with Selena
Kyle.
Right,
yeah. I don't know how that's going to work if they... I don't know. It's like showing Wilson's face.
Yeah, that's a good
you
point.
Know? On
that's
Home
a good
Improvement.
Point.
It's like, why...
Hmm.
Don't do it.
Maybe that will
don't do
ruin
it,
things.
Veep. Who's Kevin Dunn?
He's a character actor. It's kind of sad. I totally recognize his face, and you would too. Here, I'll Google it for you. But his Wikipedia page, I don't think he would want this for it to say, but he says that he's most well known as the main villain of Unstoppable.
I don't know what Unstoppable is.
The Denzel Washington train movie?
That
so
is kind of
weird. Recognize him?
No, not really.
Oh, really? But he's been in tons of stuff. Transformers, Vicky Cristina.
Oh, Transformers.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona. The list goes on.
All right, well,
I think
I'll give it a shot.
I think he's a good character
I'll
actor.
Give it a shot.
But I don't know. Yeah, let's not judge it before it comes. I'm still excited to watch it.
Jay This is one of mine. Jay is for Janelle on Teen Mom 2. Chris will not watch Teen Mom 2 or 16 of
Unless I happen to be in the same room grading papers.
Because it's too depressing.
It's so depressing.
I like watching it because it makes me feel like no matter what I do with our 7-month-old son, like, I'm not a teenager with a baby. Like, my life's pretty good. But Janelle is simultaneously the most hilarious and the most sad teen mom to watch of all. She's has a lot of problems, the least of which is she's on probation because of her marijuana use, which, like, you have to get into some real trouble.
You probably have to be doing a lot of pot and doing a lot of stupid things while you're on pot.
No, I think she actually got on probation because she stole. Her and her ex-boyfriend were, like, stealing or broken somewhere to steal so they could buy pot.
What did they steal?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, it's actually very sad because she has a 2-year-old, I think, now, and her mom's pretty much raising the 2-year-old. But anyway, the most hilarious moment of Teen Mom 2.
Speaking of sadness, I've got a piece of hilarity for
you. Oh, my God, though. It's amazing. So, she failed her drug test and had to go to jail for 45 days.
That's what she was sentenced to,
anyway. That's what she was sentenced to. So, she thought she was going to have to go to jail for 45 days. They offered her, instead, to go to jail for, like, 14 days. Or stay on probation. And she said, I don't want to stay on probation. I'd rather have 14 days in jail. Then...
because she wanted to be able to continue doing pot. And not have to face a drug test.
Probation. Then they said, well, if you just do this time in jail, okay, if that's really what you want to do, you can do this time in jail. These are the dates you're going to be there. And then she said, well, I can't be in jail during that time because it conflicts with the Kesha concert I was planning on attending.
She had second-row tickets, people.
And then gives a really passionate monologue about how she cannot miss this concert.
Oh, yeah, you're constantly talking about dialogues you want to have in your back pocket for when and if you audition for a play.
Right.
And this can be added to your list.
I'm going to use that, but... that takes advance notice. You have to put feathers in your hair, right? So, I don't know.
Because she makes a specific point to her lawyer that one of the reasons she has to go to this show is because she put feathers in her hair.
And it's amazing because she's like, can you just ask the district attorney if they can let me serve my sentence a different... And he's just like, I'm not telling the district... Her lawyer's face is like priceless, and he just looks at her and he's like, I'm not telling the district attorney that you can't do your time these dates because of a Kesha concert.
That's why it would make a good, great monologue, but the lawyer sitting there and reacting to this is part of it.
Oh, Janelle.
K is for Chris Klein on Raising Hope. Chris Klein?
I know. Anna Chlumsky, Chris Klein.
I know, right? The former American Pie, right? That's what he's from?
Yeah.
And Election is the other thing I'm thinking of.
Yes. And he was engaged, I think. Engaged?
To?
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes, that's right. Yes. Was not only on an episode of Raising Hope, but he was, like, advertised like he was this big guest star, which kind of didn't make sense other than the fact that, I guess, for Raising Hope, which I love the show, but I suppose it hasn't had the biggest of guest stars. And so when you get one, you advertise it regardless of who it is. But I actually thought he was really hilarious on it.
Yeah, he was.
James
Marsden, like.
Right. The real estate with the affable smile.
The realtor with a hat.
The realtor with a hat. Not the realtor with the cat, not the realtor with the bat.
Or a flat.
You gotta watch it to understand. But he was really funny, and I think that maybe this is the well that is finally becoming untapped of these former teen stars grown up and now having a sense of humor. So good on them.
It's been untapped.
It's been untapped until now.
Right.
L is for Lindsay Lohan on Liz and Dick, the Lifetime movie event. And, it's an event. If Lindsay Lohan graces the small screen...
It's an event.
We didn't watch it. I don't know why we put it on it. We're just trying to fill up the letters, people. What do you want from us?
Well, and she's been in the news, right? She had some trouble.
Was she?
She had some trouble this week. Something.
Right, Lindsay Lohan had some trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to the news story, but something.
So I think
she assaulted somebody outside of a nightclub. That's what happened. Now I'm remembering.
Okay.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I don't know how you distinguish that from any other event in which Lindsay Lohan appears on TMZ. Liz and Dick is a fictionalization of the Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton affair scandal, which I didn't actually...
They're
actually...
both dead, yes?
Is Richard Burton dead? Liz Taylor's dead. Richard Burton dead?
Oh, thank goodness for Google.
I know. Wait, the top... Yeah, died. In 1984. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, he's been dead a long time.
Okay. like the year after I was born. What was the first thing that came up on Google? Richard Burton. Oh, there was something weird that showed up. I thought it was Richard Burton urine, but I don't think it was. Under Milkwood.
Okay.
He read a series of Dylan Thomas poems. Interesting. tangent. Anyways, the only reason I wanted to talk about that is because I read a bunch about the Burton Taylor scandal in my film nerd book about the making of Cleopatra. And I think it actually could make an interesting movie or interesting documentary, but of course they had to sensationalize it and star Lindsay Lohan as Liz Taylor.
I don't know. I told you Lifetime was going to be the next channel to win an Emmy.
Yeah, you did say that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might still be on the trajectory.
They're working on it.
Actually, now with the miniseries and movie category constantly being reduced, maybe listen. Who knows? Maybe Liz and Dick will be nominated. the client list was nominated last year.
See, there you go.
Yeah, it's possible. Your turner.
M is for Mitchell and Modern Family. Which I've continued to watch. You've kind of stopped watching this season.
I'm outies.
I don't know why.
I don't have... You need something to watch on your day off. And what?
Okay. Ooh,
that was a very incredulous look. Do you not like to watch television on your day off?
I'm watching our child.
No, yes, I understand, but he takes naps.
If I'm lucky.
He always takes at least one nap to watch a 20-minute show.
Just don't make it sound
show.
Like I have a day of television every
week. It's one show. And you asked what show you could watch without me.
That's true.
And I said watch Modern Family because while I do tend to laugh when we watch it, I don't find it very memorable or exciting. Jeez, that was incredulous.
Modern Family. No, I like it because it's comedy of errors, and I like the character of Mitchell because of his incredulous stares.
Good connection.
He does a lot of incredulous.
That's true.
Incredulous stares.
And the cast on that show is pretty stellar.
Yeah.
As much as they get ridiculous buzz and awards, I mean, it's a strong cast.
I know it's overly popular and everybody watches that show. Like, it has a crossover audience with like the people who watch CBS sitcoms, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
But I really it continues to make me laugh. I laugh every episode, at least once. It's good stuff.
Do they still... This is, what, season 4 now? Something?
Maybe, yeah.
Do they still... Has it still been heavy at the end of the episodes of the saccharine montage, loosely tying the plot threads together to pull at your heartstrings about some theme about family?
Not every episode, but yeah, they still do.
More
so.
Yeah.
They still do.
That's the thing that kept bugging me, and I just... One reason why I gave up on it. All right, N is for Connie Nielsen on Boss. The Gladiator co-star that was poised to be huge wound up on a drama on Stars starring Kelsey Grammer. And while it was on Stars, some people thought that maybe Kelsey Grammer would pull it up by its bootstraps and make the network into something after...
He was nominated for...
He won. He won an Emmy for Best Actor for the show, and it just was canceled.
Well, maybe they'll uncancel it.
That's, I suppose, possible. But who knows... I think that was kind of just a Kelsey Grammer is nominated and we have to give it to him kind of thing.
Mm. You tried to watch it.
Oh, God, did I try? No, I actually didn't try that hard. I stopped after the first, like,
but
10
you
minutes.
Gave, you, there was oh. an attempt.
I gave it the old heave-ho.
There was a...
No, that's not the phrase. I gave it a... What's the phrase?
I don't know, but I like that one.
I gave it an honest... The Boy Scouts honesty... What is the phrase?
Scouts... Honor.
No, I gave it the good old try. What is this phrase I'm thinking of? I have no idea. Whatever.
The old college try?
That's what I'm thinking of. Does that make sense?
Oh my god, how old are you?
At 72.
The old heave-ho.
Here's the frustrating thing for me about Boss, is I tried to watch it in the midst of watching The Chicago Code, and this is a show about the mayor of Chicago, and The Chicago Code was about the police force of Chicago, and specifically a corrupt alderman that the police were after. And I think they did that tale of corruption a lot better, and that show was canceled even before Boss was canceled. But alas, that's the way things go, and you have Kelsey Grammer as your protagonist, and yet it still didn't survive. Oh well, too bad, so sad. And speaking of shows that should rest in peace, O is for Emily Owens on Emily Owens MD.
I don't even remember hearing about the show. Did we talk about the show
ever? Like for 2 seconds. This is the CW's answer to ER. And
it was just the doctor show?
It was a doctor show, but I mean, it was... I guess I don't know what the difference between this show was and Heart of Dixie, which is successful.
I thought that got canceled.
No, I think Heart of Dixie's still on.
Okay.
No, I'm pretty sure it's still on. Once again, the Google will tell us. Heart of Dixie.
So, but you don't know what the shtick was about?
She was just a young doctor. It's Heart of Dixie. The conceit is that Rachel Bilson comes from the South to some fancy northern city. And yeah, it's still going. 2011-blank space, end parentheses. Emily Owens ND was played by that girl that some people like that was on that show that was not good, about the doctors on the island.
Isn't she somebody's daughter? Meryl Streep's daughter?
Yeah, she's Meryl Streep's daughter.
Yeah, Meryl Streep's daughter. Yeah, that show where they were like volunteering. It was like Doctors Without Borders program. Yeah.
Right. That was what that one was. And she played another doctor on this show in which, yeah, she's just a young doctor working as an intern in the hospital.
Yeah, she looks like Meryl Streep.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, that's gone now. So CW canceled its first show. And... Stars canceled its first show this season, and is there any other ones we mentioned so far? No, we'll get to a couple more. P, you got this one, Drixka.
I don't know if I do.
You do. Say it.
P is for Plucky Duck on Tiny Toons. Twist?
What? Tiny Toons? That's just on there because Drixka started randomly singing the Tiny Toons theme song a couple hours ago.
Which in and of itself is better than half of the shows that we've already...
That's very true. And speaking of what makes it better, theme song.
Yes.
Right? None of these shows have
Boss,
great...
if their theme song was the Like a Boss song from the SNL digital short, maybe the show would have survived.
Actually, what was the... I was looking up theme songs the other day, and they listed... Boss has a ridiculous theme song. What is... Oh yeah, Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin wrote the theme song. Satan, your kingdom must come down. Subtle much? Not at all. Yeah. Well, we could do a whole episode on theme songs, and I would like it. Next, I'll take this one. P is for Peter Q. Quinn. Oh, this is Q. Sorry. Q is for Peter Quinn on Homeland. He is a character that's simultaneously fascinating and aggravating. He's the new character on season 2 of the Showtime political thriller, and he plays a CIA analyst, or does he? He was interesting as the CIA analyst because he had some tics that just kind of made him a unpredictable character, but then they recently did this, what I think was pretty lame twist, where turns out he's not a CIA analyst, he's actually an assassin, and he was just placed as
really?
Yeah, I know.
I am so glad I stopped watching that show.
It's going off the rails at the end of the season, even though it's still imminently watchable and still interesting. It's kind of going the way of 24, which makes sense because its creators came from 24, in which now they're seeming to care more about the plot twists rather than the characters.
Well, it's like, I think 24 and Homeland, it seemed like they were both created with the idea of one season in mind.
Yeah, that is possible. But, I mean, just like 24, I'll watch Homeland until the main character's daughter starts hunting cougars in the desert.
Okay.
But yeah, too bad, Homeland. I'll still watch you. You are still fun to watch. I still look forward to watching you, but you're doing some kind of amateur stuff, especially for being a quote-unquote prestige drama that has won now Best Drama at the Emmys and may win again next year. You got this one, Jerkska.
R is for Rob Reiner, New Girl.
Double RR.
Double R. Extra points if we were playing categories. No, we just watched the Thanksgiving episode of New Girl, and it guest starred both Jamie Lee Curtis and Rob Reiner as Jess's parents. And it was a good episode.
Yeah. Well, I think New Girl has overall been an improved season this season. I don't know if I care for this kind of stunt casting
to stunt casting.
Grab our attention.
But Chris Klein stunt casting, you are for.
So, see, I don't see that as
stunt. No, I know.
You know,
because nobody cares
about cares about Chris Klein. And he actually turned out to be very funny. But, like, Rob Reiner is like, yeah, he's Rob Reiner, so you respect him. But he didn't like, add anything to the show. It could have been any other random
dude.
Old guy.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, and Jamie Lee Curtis, once again, I mean, these are, it was kind of, I for a second there, because the whole conceit was Zooey Deschanel was trying to get her parents back together. Parent trapping, because she did it a lot as a child when her parents got divorced. And for a second, I was like, oh, that's kind of meta, because Jamie Lee Curtis was in Parent Trap. And I was like, wait, no, that was Freaky Friday.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Were you?
Yeah, I did think that.
We
didn't have that conversation,
no.
But I was thinking that in my head. Who was in the remake of Parent Trap, though?
Gosh, we're using Google a lot tonight.
I know.
But
was Lindsay Lohan in Freaky Friday?
Oh, she was also in Parent Trap.
Oh, she was.
So there you go. It's a 2-degree separation meta joke, I think, then.
Oh, Dennis Quaid and Natasha Richardson.
Who is Natasha Richardson? Is that the mom from Home Improvement? No. That's Miranda Richardson. Natasha Richardson.
Okay, we're going down an IMDb rabbit hole. We just need to come back around.
Okay, moving on. S is for Stephen King's Under the Dome. That's right, Stephen King's novel about a town that lives inside of a dome is becoming a TV series on CBS. And I didn't read it because I stopped reading Stephen King when, you know, I became a grown-up. But...
I like that Plucky Duck makes our countdown, but yet you can still act really haughty about Stephen King novels.
Yeah, that's how I roll. I really don't know what the synopsis is, other than that Stephen King attempted to write it several times in his life, and finally it came out last year as a book. But I can't imagine it's anything more interesting than that. I heard from many people that still kept reading Stephen King that... That was the most frustrated they ever got at a Stephen King novel, which is saying something, because even in the olden days when Stephen King was an entertaining writer, he was still very frustrating. Anyways, that's happening. That's a thing. Look forward to it or don't. I don't care. You got this one, Jerkska.
Oh, and I'm so excited about this one. This one has the internet's a flutter?
A Twitter?
No, a flutter.
No, a Twitter.
A flutter. I can say what I want.
I suppose you can.
T is for Topanga on Girl Meets World.
What?
So Disney announced that they are going to be running a sequel show? I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, it's a sequel.
Sequel?
It might be the first of its kind.
Sequel?
No, because Dallas.
No, that was a remake.
No, I thought it was a continuation because the guy who played JR came back. But now he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
Anyways.
Sequel to Boy Meets World. I can't believe this is happening. I'm so excited about mm-hmm. this. That is like one of the preeminent shows of my childhood. I'm
Me
so
too.
Excited. But it's going to be Girl Meets World, and all we know about it is that it's going to focus on Cory and Topanga, and their now teenage daughter named Riley.
There you go. And I don't know if you heard this, but as of a couple of days ago anyways, Ryder Strong has made it clear that he will not return to play the role of Sean.
Why? Because he has so much...
Because his career is crazy busy right now.
He's got a couple episodes of Raising Hope on the horizon, or what?
Was he on Raising Hope?
No, but Chris Klein was, so I feel like they're just going to be...
Or, you know, another straight-to-DVD sequel to Cabin Fever, maybe?
Yeah, seriously, Ryder Strong. What the hell is your problem?
I don't know. He's really a wet blanket.
No kidding. But no one cared about Sean, anyway.
I did.
Yeah, you would. Mr. Turner.
Maybe Minkus will come back?
Minkus.
Minkus, who we have a personal, real-life connection to, Jerkska.
Yeah, I know.
Our friend Dan went to college with Minkus.
We're know, roommates or something, right?
Yeah, well, dorm neighbors, maybe?
Dorm neighbors.
We know some secrets about the kid who played Minkus that would probably be pretty mean to announce on the internet. Let's just say they're not very good. But I hope Minkus comes back.
Yeah, but Minkus wasn't in most of the series. He was only in, like, the first couple of seasons.
I don't care. Right. Bring back, I hope they have some meta jokes about, Corey's little sister, like they did in the show as well.
Yeah.
Whether or not
is Eric coming back?
Oh gosh, I hope so. It'll be funny to see which version of Eric will come back. Will it be kind of sweet-natured, kind of intelligent guy from the first couple seasons,
or like
the completely the like absent-minded, lobotomized
I'm Eric.
Who knows? I hope so though. Is for USS Colorado on Last Resort.
I forgot about that show.
Our first non-person, our first non-human character. And I would say if Baltimore was a character on The Wire, that the submarine is a character on Last Resort.
But better than any of the human characters on the show.
You're such a jerk. Actually, the show got kind of not as good as the pilot purported.
You thought the pilot was good?
I thought the pilot was good. I thought it was probably the best network drama pilot of the fall.
The pilot seemed like a jokey homage to, like, every dumb adventure movie you ever saw in the 80s.
And I like that.
Oh, God.
But
it's like
you don't
Con Air threw up in my face.
You don't have to
That's
worry
what
about
was.
It, Jerkska. I like vomit and Jerry Bruckheimer films, so we're okay. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Last Resort got canned. Yet another Sean Ryan-created show in the pooper. And I don't mean the poop deck, if you catch my drift.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean either. It's getting late. Yeah, it was canned.
Give it the old heave-ho off the poop deck!
ABC couldn't deal with the ratings, despite its critical acclaim, and had to say goodbye to it. So that's ABC's, I think, first drama cancellation. We also reported on The Neighbors flying back to space a couple months ago. Get it? Flying back to space?
No.
Because it's no longer in the air. It's leaving. So it's... And there's aliens on the show.
But is that what they actually did on the series?
I don't know. I don't think they had time to finish the story arc of The Neighbors. You got the next one, Jerkska.
I do. V is for Vanderbeek. I don't trust the B. The only thing interesting about that show. and I've watched every episode this season. I'm not sure why. Mostly because of Vanderbeek.
Oh,
I've got nothing else going for it. Nothing about the show is entertaining except him.
Okay, good. We kind of mentioned that earlier. We can move on. W is for Dominic West on The Hour. BBC America presents The Hour.
That's sorry,
is BBC America. No, let me try again. BBC America. No, let me try it again.
It's getting worse.
Governor. BBC America presents The Hour. How's that? Is that still really bad?
It's like a cockney word.
No, let me hear you say it, and then I'll try it.
I'm not good at it either, but I'm better than you.
But then let's hear it.
Dominic West on The Hour.
Okay, that's pretty good. Dominic West on The Hour.
You don't have to do a girl's voice.
Okay, I guess I don't. Let's move on. The Hour season 2 is starting soon. They didn't know it was gonna, if it was going to be a ongoing series or not. Maybe it was just gonna be a one shot series. But I liked the. Did you remember watching this show?
Yeah, I remember watching the show.
Well, you know, you forget so many things.
I watched many episodes of that show.
6, yeah.
That seemed like 12.
You did not like it. No, you did not like it, though.
No, I did not like it. It's a good napping show. Yeah, it's a good napping show.
I know. I love the music on that show. Once again, talking about...
It was a pretty show, too.
It is very pretty. Beautifully shot. So I look forward to it. It was kind of like what The Newsroom probably should have been, except it was set in the 60s and starring British people that weren't Emily Mortimer. What?
Okay.
What was that? What's with these incredulous looks that our listeners cannot...
I just can't see anything in common between those two shows at all.
They're both about news shows?
Well, yeah.
Trying to report on the news?
Yeah, but they're...
And what's truth and what's not?
But beyond that, they're like barely both television shows.
What do you mean they're barely both television
that's
shows?
That's another podcast, too.
What do you mean they're barely both... They have scripts and actors and they appear on our... thing that looks like
a screen.
I'm just
saying that they're so divergent that they're barely part of the same, like...
They're both shows about a news team. What else do you want?
Oh my gosh, we're not gonna have this argument in front of all these people, Christopher.
I look forward to it returning. I think that our... what will happen in season 2 will completely depend on not only how... further in time we go from the original conspiracy of season 1, or if they continue to extend that conspiracy. But I think the options are up in the air, and I think Dominic West, a.k.a. McNulty from The Wire, it was a shining spot on the show that they didn't shine a light on soon enough, and he finally became like a full-fledged character at the end of the series, even though I also still like Roma Ligari and Ben Whishaw, who mm-hmm. played the guy and girl duo. I think the threesome kind of become an interesting, not only love triangle, but, work team. And it's, exciting to see that in a show on a network that typically, is just known for reruns. And, I hope that, they continue to have original programming.
Agreed.
Okay. This is, I'm going on a stretch for, cause whose name starts with X? There's no guy named Xavier on TV as far as I know. So, just I know you're going to roll your eyes and make sure it's a K, but X is for David Wilcox, the creator of 666 Park Avenue. And 6 has an X at the end.
That was just canceled?
Just canceled, a couple weeks ago.
I can't believe they let it go on that long.
You can't believe that they let it go on for 4 episodes.
No, I can't. Considering all the shows that they canceled before that...
Oh, actually, yeah, I think 666 Park Avenue was canceled before... Last Resort, so that would make it ABC's first drama cancellation.
Well, it was terrible.
Season. It was, though we had this discussion already, I thought it was kind of entertaining.
What was entertaining is to watch it with you and my dad at the same time.
Yes, and your dad...
My dad was like getting homicidal about how much he hated the show. It was amazing.
And finally, 40 minutes into the 45-minute pilot, he left to go take a nap. I feel bad, though, for Terry O'Quinn. Not so much for Vanessa Williams. Yeah, I love Terry O'Quinn. I think that he's a very strong, specifically television actor, because he can stretch roles out throughout
Lost
seasons.
Lost is over. Get over it.
You were going to watch it. You said out loud in real life.
It was a weak moment.
I thought about watching Lost, so now it's going to happen.
That's what I said.
Get ready.
I thought about watching
Lost. I know. And I'm going to...
Thought about it.
Turn that
I say I'm going
into
to,
a
I'd
reality.
Like to...
Winter break. Get ready. That's your Christmas present. All of Lost.
That's my Christmas present. I will punch you.
Why is...
I thought you were saying why will I punch you?
Why is not a person, and it's not a submarine. Why is your decision to cancel cable? As in our decision to cancel cable? I don't know. I'm trying to make it...
Yeah, I see.
The royal
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know. The royal yore?
Yeah, the royal yore. So we're thinking about canceling cable.
Yeah, there's no
That's
reason.
It.
There's no reason for it.
There isn't, really. And let's get our frustrations out in the air. We've explained it to all our friends.
Ugh.
So, on-demand services, provided by your local cable company.
You should, at the very least, have shows that the networks have on their website.
Right. If something appears on NBC.com 12 hours, 24 hours after it's aired, there's no reason for it to not be on, like, this behemoth cable company's on-demand service.
Right. And on top of that, we should get it sooner, or we should have a wider selection of things to watch.
Yeah, or we should be able to fast-forward or skip ahead like we can do on the internet, or we should be able to...
With the networks, you can't fast-forward through commercials.
Like, what the hell?
And not even commercials. We have a baby. We can't sit and watch a half-hour program most of the time without having to pause it. And then we pause
it. Oh, my God.
And then they won't save your place most of the time. And then you either have to start the episode over and watch all the commercials again, because you can't fast forward through those. Or you just give up and say, okay, I guess we're just not going to watch the rest of that episode, which we had to do on numerous occasions.
Or we say, screw this, let's go watch it on Hulu. Like, Hulu, a service that is free...
is better.
Is more intuitive, is more... has more options.
So yeah, so you've got your Hulus, you've got your Netflix.
Yeah.
Which is also a sponsor of this program.
Ding, ding, ding. Go to bit.ly/blogflix. That's BLOGFLIX. Or click the link on the page you're streaming this netcast from to get your free 2-week trial, courtesy of Blogulator Radio and the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. It's got a wide swath of selections of television programs that we've been talking about today, available for your streaming convenience. And also, I did for the first time stream Netflix on my phone to watch some episodes of Terriers, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
If you hate tiny screens like me, and follow Roger Ebert and David Lynch a lot in their harangues about the perils of new technology, it's not that bad. It's just it's a little bit smaller.
Yeah. You know what cable is? You know what on-demand is?
A giant... douchebag.
On demand is like, you know when you're at the airport and you know you're gonna have to pay more for food because you're in an airport, but you can sit down, right, and you can go to the airport bar, you can have a beverage and pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes you're in the terminal you're in, all they have is like one of those kiosks where you can buy like a cold turkey sandwich that's been sitting there forever.
I hear
you. I feel like on demand preach is it. Like the turkey sandwich of the airport. You totally. Still have to pay out your butthole right? For the privilege of eating shit. And that, my friends, is why we're thinking about canceling cable.
The more you know. Z is for Zoja Mamet. I have no idea how to pronounce her name. Zozia Mamet? Zoja.
Zoja?
Zoja Mamet.
Zozia?
Zozia Mamet. On Girls. HBO's new series is coming back for its sophomore season on January 13th. Zoja Mamet in particular. It's not just because she's the only one in the letter Z, even though it kind of is. I actually am excited to see her character hopefully become more developed.
See, I really dislike her character.
I disliked her a lot in the first couple episodes, but they kept sprinkling in interesting things, and also she's the only straight-up comedic one. And I hope that not only they humanize her more, but they also take advantage of her comedic skills.
Yeah, they just need to pull back on the...
the slapstick like, stuff. Like, she can't just... I'm high on cocaine.
Well, because everybody else is, like, so sad.
Right. Self-deprecating
figuring
instead of...
figuring shit out.
Yeah.
Reflective pondering. I don't know. Emo.
All those things. Emo. There you go.
And she's just a cartoon.
Right. She's the bubbly cartoon girl of the group.
So I'd like to get some cartoony stuff going with the others and maybe...
they should balance it out.
Yeah. More balance.
But, I mean, just because they're balancing doesn't mean that they can take away from those characters' individual quirks. I mean, I think they've done well at establishing their backgrounds and their personalities. So, looking forward to that. That's it. We're almost at an hour. Let's end this B in Apartment 23. Thanks for listening to Blogulator Radio. You can find us online at theblogulator.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus.
And the Google Plus.
Fez from That 70s Show got in here for a second. Let's...
goodbye, people.
Wrap it up by saying...
the old heave-ho.
Oh, now we're going to hear the end of that. Thanks for listening, and as always,
our opinions are valid. We're tiny, we're toony, we're all a little loony, and in this cartoony...